You did not make any comment before voting on the West Side mobile home discussion. Like to get your thoughts on why you didn't have anything to say and how you feel about it right now.
I couldn't get a word in edgewise, honestly, but it's like a tennis match. It's back and forth, and I was trying to figure out who's on first and who's on second. You know, we never discuss the items in advance. So if you want to know what your council members think about an issue, when you start discussing an issue, you can kind of start making notes and saying, mm-hmm. all right, well, this councilman seems to be in favor of it. This council member's against something. And so I started taking notes and taking score to see, pretty much saw that it was a split 3-3 vote so far, and it was a different 3-3 vote. Yeah. Someone said it wasn't, you know, you had, I think, Greg and Councilmember Sons on one side, Mike Sullivan and I were leaning on the other side, and so everyone was kind of mixed up on what they typically vote for. It was kind of interesting. I would like to. I mean, I was looking at Google Maps and the aerial of the area. We've got a lot of junkyards in the area. We've got some old mobile home parks. We've got some housing authority projects across the street, and we've got Blinn College right down the road. So the gentleman will tell you that he wasn't aware of Blinn College coming into the neighborhood at the time that he applied for the rezoning and mm-hmm. all that. And me personally, I would like to see that land turned into single-family residences. I think he said it would be difficult to sell. I'm not sure that would be the case. We did a small development right around the corner that sold overnight. There were three or four that were built, three or four lots on Silkwood that were sold overnight by another builder. Those are $125,000 to $150,000 homes, mm-hmm. and they had no problem selling. I told the gentleman we'd be happy to look and see what the city can do and help. But I would like to see a single family development out there and start cleaning up the area. And I'm just afraid that, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, what will that mobile home park look like? What will the property look like? And I understand we have to have affordable housing options for our residents, but, some of the starter homes are affordable housing options that will appreciate as the years go by.
Well, you know, and kind of just in background, at the forum, I had hoped with the at-large candidates, I wanted to hear their vision, and so I kind of left it as an open-ended question for them, and I never really got what I thought were satisfactory responses from any of the candidates about that. And I think this is a rare opportunity for the city of Bryan that West Side can become anything you want it to be right now. So I think the vote was telling, and I was a little bit concerned that none of the candidates on the at-large had any vision of that. And I need an at-large member who's got a vision for the city, I think.
Well, it's difficult for several of us on the council vote against real estate projects. So we like to see growth and development, but we like to see good growth and development that's complementary to the area, to the neighborhoods, and to the citizens, and for future expansion. And we do have a lot of opportunities. The West Side in the last few years has changed overnight. I mean, you'll drive out there one day and drive out there a month later, and it looks totally different. I mean, with the overpass, with the new Walmart strip center, Traditions, and all the new subdivisions, the BioCorridor, and the Health Science Center, and then you go north and you have the new campus for Blinn College that's in the process of being built. It is a different face on the west side, and we have our new comprehensive plan that's being put together and developed, and they'll address those issues. And I think once you have the new comp plan that comes out, it'll talk about what needs to be out there to complement the area and to help the area grow and develop. But it's not the same West Side that we've known 10, 15 years ago. It is evolving and changing, and we need to do likewise at the city.
Well, as we grow, and again, as mayor, but as one member of council, this is a time when Bryan has tried to help mid-range builders with some incentives. Do we need to do that also on the lower end for people who maybe do want to build less expensive housing, give them sort of an incentive to do that?
Particularly in areas where mobile home parks are prevalent or more warranted, I think that is something we need to look at, and the council is supportive of that as a whole. So we are looking. There are several that are on the table right now that we're talking to, actually in single-member District 2, which would be the north side of Bryan, where there hasn't been any new growth, new development, or new residential development in 30, 40 years, around Bottom School in that area. So we are encouraging that, a quality product on the ground. And that's something the city would look at and would work with this gentleman on if he came back to the table with a more traditional stick and brick type development there. And I think the neighbors would appreciate that. There are some drainage issues in the area that some of the neighbors complained about. Maybe that's something the city needs to take a look at and address. They were their private issues, but that's something we can look at that would help develop that area in a positive fashion.
Well, the term manufactured housing is a little bit ambiguous. I think Councilman Sutherland had said the College Station's not letting permits on mobile homes anymore. Is there something maybe in using manufactured housing as opposed to stick houses, I think it's stick built, is there something like was not passed by council? Could that be in the bottom area or someplace else in the city in your view? Or does it need to be traditional stick houses?
Well, when you've got traditional stick and brick developers and builders that want to put that on the ground in those areas, I think you address that first and you work with them first. Are there other products out there that aren't the traditional manufactured housing that we're used to? Yes. I mean, they're prepared off-site and then they're assembled on-site. Mm-hmm. We've seen some of those. There's several neighborhoods in Bryan and in the rural areas that are they're manufactured housing, but they're not the traditional mobile homes that we're used to seeing, and they're just assembled elsewhere. It's kind of like Kyle Field. Assemble it elsewhere and bring it
bring
here.
Bring it in here, yeah.
And put it together. But and they're good products. Sure. So that is something we would take a look at. Part of that component, I think a good chunk of it was rental, as opposed to where you'd actually own the lot itself and then have your improvements on it. Mm-hmm. So that was also a concern. And so I think there's a compromise that could be made that would be beneficial to the landowner and developers in that, and also beneficial to the residents in the area that want to improve the area and see it evolve with the growth and development on the west side.
Mayor Jason Byanski of Bryan joining us this morning. Brazos CAD, the appraisal district, making a second run now at finding a new facility. Bryan ISD board seems to like it okay. They're going to make their presentation to you. Give me your thought as one member of council.
Well, we haven't seen the presentation yet. Just hearing about it in the past week, I did see, I think, CISD and BISD voted on it, so I'm not sure that our vote matters anymore and the counties and the cities. Two school districts have two representatives on the BCAD board, the cities and Brazos County have one representative, and it's based on the tax dollars that are collected. Mm-hmm. And the ISDs are the large entities, so they get a larger percentage of votes, from what I understand. I understand the need and want to put that office centrally located. It cannot locate in College Station because it's got to stay in the county seat, which is Bryan. That east side of town where they want to locate, in my opinion, is probably the hottest area in Bryan. Mm-hmm. We've got some new developments and new commercial and residential developments that could take place there in the next few years. We're looking at expanding University Drive and extending it all the way out to Highway 21 in the near future. And so, when you put a governmental entity on some of your prime property and in your community, it takes it off the tax rolls. Mm-hmm. I understand that there is some land that was acquired with the tax office that could be built or used, and I think there's an issue about joint parking that has to be resolved. Yep. And how would they get financing on it? How could they sell it? How could they split it off? And I think some of those could be addressed and looked at and worked out with the county. I've talked to County Judge Dwayne Peters many times about it, and the willingness to work with the entities on that is definitely on the table. It's already off the tax rolls.
Sure. Right.
It's already off the tax rolls. And so you're talking about a $3-4 million deal that you're not getting taxed on. Of course, the school districts receive the most. CISD didn't receive any, and mm-hmm. City of College Station didn't receive any. So it mainly affects BISD, City of Bryan, and Brazos County. I'm willing to take a look at their proposal and see what's on the table and try to work with them. And also a proponent of some of these vacant buildings we have centrally located on Texas Avenue. Maybe there's an opportunity there. If they're not happy in their current location, maybe there's another opportunity out there. I think their pitch is, in the long run, we're going to save money by owning the structure than renting it. But we also have to take in consideration the tax dollars that we're going to lose from it not being on the tax rolls. Putting that in one of the best developing locations in Bryan on the east side, when another taxpaying entity could be there, is a concern of mine. Sure. But it will bring in 20, 30 plus employees in the area. that could be positive, but I had no problem with them on Briarcrest because I know that's exactly where most of those people would eat, would be in that central area of Bryan.
Oh, yeah.
Now they're on the border, so we won't go there. But
all right. Well, and you mentioned Texas Avenue, and that was something we brought up in the Candidates Forum, is development along Texas Avenue, redeveloping Texas Avenue in any number of ways, whether it's burying utility lines, refurbishing buildings that are there, again, putting an appraisal district. What's your thought as to what could be done to kind of rehab Texas Avenue in Bryan?
I guess I thought the word was out, but Council Member Greg Owens and myself placed an agenda item for this upcoming meeting about Texas Avenue redevelopment. The unwritten rule in the past has been that we would participate with the property owner if they wanted to improve their property. We would look at abatements on the improvements. We're looking at facade program stuff, but there's not anything officially there in writing, and there's not a lot of promotion of it. We did do some on South College with the gentleman in town. He took a $1 million property that was an eyesore in town and made it a $2-3 million property, and so we worked with them on some abatements on the improvements. So we didn't lose anything. We actually gained, and it's no longer an eyesore. It's in the whole area is redeveloped on South College. So that needs to be done on Texas Avenue, and Councilmember Owens, myself, did place that on the agenda to talk about it. So I figured the candidates saw it, and that's why everyone's been touting Texas Avenue. I'm like, well, we're fixing to officially talk about it here in a couple weeks, but I think the whole council as a whole wants to redevelop and do what we can with the empty boxes on Texas Avenue. You know, we're going to talk about bearing power lines. It's been mentioned. I'm going to tell you, I mean, I've had 1,000 conversations with BTU, with the BTU board, the past and current chair persons. You know, it's extremely expensive to bury it. I think we need to focus on burying those power lines on the new developing parts of town when it makes more sense. But we can bury those power lines, Scott, but we still have Verizon and Suddenlink and others that rent and use those poles. They're not obligated to do anything. They could stay on those lines. So you might bury the power lines, but you still have the poles up because you've got all the other infrastructure that's utilizing those poles. So that doesn't go away overnight, and that costs more money to the taxpayers to bury it. Probably should have been done a long time ago, but to go back and fix it now, it could be an astronomical amount. I mean, tens of millions of dollars. And so we have to look at it. Is that a major priority? Could we use that for other infrastructure needs? And, you know, what can we do to with that money that would better suit the citizens of Bryan? And that's the council's decision there. But I am an advocate for any new areas that we must, when it will be more affordable, put those and bury those lines if at all possible, particularly in the high trafficked areas. But there definitely is a noticeable difference when you cross from Bryan to College Station on Texas Avenue.
Well, but College Station was much less densely populated with businesses when they buried them in College Station. I mean, it's a different world. It's already established in Bryan. It is a different world, and you're right. And it's more expensive than it was when College Station did it. Well, that's all I've got. You got some stuff you want to share with us this morning, though?
Absolutely. This Saturday is the Halloween Festival and Paw Parade at Buzz Hamilton Park from 5 to 8 p.m. So come on out to our new dog park on the east side of town. A lot of prizes, trick-or-treating, a pumpkin walk, pumpkin carving, hay rides. And then the Spooktacular Municipal Court Traffic Safety Fair is the following Saturday, Halloween, October 31st, 10 to 2 p.m. at Sue Haswell Park, 10 to 2 at Sue Haswell. Free event, games, food, prizes, costume contests. The fire department, police departments will be out there, the K-9 unit, and good family fun. And then we're also having a Halloween meteorite viewing party up here at the fifth floor of your office,
Crystal Park Plaza. Yeah.
Since that's Halloween night or the same time period, but we'll see how that goes.
Should be fun.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Yep. That's Jason Bansky. We covered a lot of stuff this morning. Appreciate the time.